You're listening to The Stone Tapes with Sam Stone, David J. Howe, Patricia H. Ash, George Mann and Robin Pierce. A show which sheds a little slice of geek sunshine into the ether.
In dreams he came.
Del Rey, Don't Call Me Angel, which is one of the theme songs from Charlie's Angels that's forthcoming. And
another Charlie's Angels.
A new Charlie's Angels.
Another
show.
One. Reboot.
Another
yes,
one.
Absolutely.
Oh, they've got Bosley in this time.
And welcome to the 52nd edition of the Stone Tapes. I'm Sam Stone. In the studio, we have the lovely George Mann.
Have we only got 50 seconds?
We have.
Oh, no.
50 seconds.
50 seconds, yes.
David J. Howe.
That's me.
On the telephone with us at the moment, the lovely Patricia H. Ash.
Hello.
Oh, she's
hi,
there.
Patricia.
Hello.
And, of course, our producer, Alex Levchuk.
Good evening.
Joining us later will be Robin Pierce.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. And, yes, yeah, so, Patricia, over to you. What have you been reviewing this month?
Oh, my gosh. Carnival Row, that's on Amazon Prime.
Ooh,
okay.
Do we have the entire time to talk about this? Because it could easily take up the entire time.
Okay.
It's just so rich. There's layers, so many layers. I need to watch it again to, like, peel away the first layer and then go into the second layer, and then there's going to be some more layers. From the trailer, I thought it was going to be like a fantasy crime procedural thing. Nope. It's much more dramatic, much darker. It's pretty gritty, and there are some very uncomfortable metaphors in it, so be ready for that. I was not ready, and it was still amazing. I think it's based on a book, so I need to track down that book. And if it's not, wow.
It was. I think it was originally a film script, actually, that they then decided to turn into a TV series, yeah. And I don't think there's any original book. It was a guy called Travis Beecham, who's the guy behind Pacific Rim. And he teamed up with Del Toro, and they were going to do it originally. And then I think Del Toro backed out just because he was so busy with other stuff. And Legendary took it on and turned it into a TV show.
So layer number...
Del Toro would have been really good for that.
He would.
Yeah.
Layer number...
It's dark and creepy and wow.
So layer number one, Patricia, sort of ostensibly it's about a kind of... I want to use the word historic, isn't it? But you think it's kind of Victorian kind of London
type
city thing. It's sort of
World War One.
Yeah.
Sort of World War One-esque fantasy world here. There's two main human factions, the Pact and the Berg. The Berg is totally not England. Absolutely, definitely not. We're in London right now. Yeah, it's just totally like Edwardian London-ish. Except there's no monarch. There's just a parliament. And there's, oh my God, there's politics in it. And wow. So there's Orlando Bloom, whose character's name is long and unpronounceable. They just call him Philo because it's long. And he's a police detective, which is why I thought it was going to be a crime procedural thing. Nope. There are murders. He catches one serial killer, and then there's this other messy, messy murder, which starts this whole rabbit hole of secrets and politics, and then some more secrets, and then another layer of politics, and then at the very end you're like, oh no, that person is evil. I can't share a lot of the plot without giving the whole thing away.
Orlando Bloom's a human, but we've also got kind of fairy creatures in there as well.
Yes,
and they're so cool.
So the Pact and the Berg found a fairy homeland that's called Tiernanog, which actually is in Irish folklore, and there's pixies, which are like people with wings, and then there's satyrs, which are called pucks, and then there's also centaurs, but none of the major characters are centaurs, so that's not as important, but there's just, and Tiernanog has been basically destroyed. The Pact has it now. The Berg tried to fight a war about it and lost badly. So all the fairy people are refugees or trapped in a horrible oppressive regime. So Orlando Bloom's character fought in that war, fell in love with this fairy girl who is now in the Berg, which is not London. So I'm not going to spoil anything else there.
But it's hard, isn't it?
But
the leading fairy person is played by Cara Delevingne.
Delevingne.
That's fine.
Who you might remember from Valerian.
Oh yeah.
She played.
Oh, that's why she looks familiar.
Yeah.
She's very different. Hair very different.
Suicide
She's got wings.
And
she can
Suicide
fly.
Squad.
Oh, and Suicide Squad. Because she was the wispy ghost witch thing in Suicide Squad, wasn't she? She's barely recognizable.
I forgot that.
In that.
Mm. And lots of perfume.
She's got a lot of range.
And lots of perfume.
She's a model, of course.
She's
isn't
a model.
She?
But I think she does very well. She's got this Irish accent, which is kind of not bad.
think it's pretty good accent.
Well, yeah, the fairies are all it's Ireland. It's basically Ireland.
Yeah. It's very
Except
much. Sorry, go on.
Even cooler.
Yes.
It's very much a story about immigration with the fairies, isn't it, and refugees and the current immigration issues in Britain and America.
Racism metaphors, classism metaphors.
Yeah.
So many political metaphors. Like you read the newspaper, and then you watch Carnival Row, and you're like,
It's in there. It's there.
It's very reflective, isn't it?
But it's rich on so many levels, though, as you said, Patricia. It's visually incredible.
The story's incredible. Oh, my God. Well, I mean, just having people with wings, that's really cool.
I love the way how
But they flutter, they flutter like hummingbirds.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah. It's not like, you know, flat.
And they're,
flat,
they're
flat.
Really flexible. They're not stiff. They're just like flexible hummingbird-like things, except they look like dragonflies. Oh, they're gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then the satyr people, the pucks, are also really cool. There's a character who's one of those, and
So I love the guy that's moved indoors into the next door to the posh people, and they can't get on with it. What's he doing in this neighborhood? There goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, the posh people are all like, "Oh no, it's okay that we have him as servant."
But he's like brooding, kind of silent, kind of beast-like thing, and the poor girl next door is all kind of poshing up herself, and you're just waiting for something to happen.
Oh, you guys, you've got so much good stuff to come as well, because you're at a point. We were talking just before we were on air. You're talking about the where you're at in the series, and
we haven't seen it all yet.
They've set up the dominoes; they haven't knocked them down yet.
Yeah. Oh,
you've got
goodness.
A lot to enjoy.
I'm so excited!
I cannot wait for the second season, which they have said is coming.
Yeah.
So. I would definitely.
That's a pretty good review, Patricia.
Out of 10.
Fantastic.
20 out of 10.
Love it.
Incredible.
And I have to agree with you. It is a great show. Very different from anything else we've been watching recently. And we're absolutely enjoying it a great deal.
I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it.
No, I think there was a real risk that they just went steampunk and just did all the tropes.
Yeah, I mean,
but they didn't. They took that aesthetic and did their own thing.
Part. Yeah, definitely.
They've got all the good parts of steampunk.
Yeah.
But nobody's wearing weird goggles for no reason.
Exactly. Exactly. That's a pet peeve.
Weird goggles, it's totally motivated and makes perfect sense with the world.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Like, you know, if you were going to fly, you might wear goggles.
Thanks so much, Patricia. We'll speak to you next month.
Talk to you next month. But I don't wanna fall down the rabbit hole. Cross my heart, I won't do it again. I tell myself, draw the line. Not do I do, but once in a while I trip up and across the line. And I think of you. 2 years and just like that, my head still takes me back. Thought it was done, but I guess it's never really over. It's never really over. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over. And if I think it over, maybe you'll be coming over again. And I'll stick it up for you all over again. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over. And if I think it over, maybe you'll be coming over again. And I'll stick it up for you all over again. I guess I could try hypnotherapy. I gotta rewire this brain. Can't even go on the internet without even checking your name. I tell myself, draw the line. Not do I do, but once in a while I trip up and across the line. I think of you. 2 years and just like that, my head still takes me back. Thought it was done, but I guess it's never really over. It's never really over. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over. And if I think it over, maybe you'll be coming over again. And I'll stick it up for you all over again. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over. And if I think it over, maybe you'll be coming over again. And I'll stick it up for you all over again. Thought we kissed goodbye. Thought we met this time. Was the last, but I guess it's never really over. Thought we drew the line.
still takes me back. Thought it was done, but I guess it's never really over. Just because it's over doesn't mean it's really over.
Katy Perry, never really over.
Katy Perry.
I do like her.
Katy Perry.
She's
Katy,
pretty cool.
It's Katy. Hi, Sam. It's Katy here. You're listening to the Stone Tapes.
I'm quite disturbed now.
There comes a time, folks, where we're going to actually have a diversity transgendered scenario. It's just too far.
No.
Well, that lovely music was on. I think we can welcome now Robin Pearce onto the show. Hi, Robin.
I'm scared.
Be afraid.
You should be.
First time. Yeah,
feel for George. He's sat next to David right now.
As now I feel I can't really assume anybody's gender in there. Hey, folks.
Katie's really upset. She stormed out now because you don't believe that she was on the show. I'm quite upset. You know,
Katy Perry is gone.
A lot of effort to get her.
Right, I'll buy her a drink later.
Oh, good. That's a pretty good idea. Yeah, so, fantastic.
Robin, what's the view from your castle like this week?
Is this the view from the High Castle?
No, it's the view from Castle Rock.
Okay.
I
see what you did there.
Trust me, I'm a professional.
I'm glad one of us is.
you beautiful people in the studio keep telling me about all these fabulous things that you watch on streaming. Now, I have two streaming services, and I've been waiting for Castle Rock to show up on either or. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't. Oh. Streaming let me down.
Oh, dear.
You see, that's why the future is physical media.
Thank you.
Future
thank you,
is
sir.
Physical media. Well, but anyway, that's a discussion we can have a little bit later.
Yes, unless, because talking of not having any internet, there's no streaming either. So physical media for me all the way.
Oh, no. Yes.
We had no internet for 2 days again.
Yes.
Well, you're going to have to do what I did and go out and buy Castle Rock on DVD.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Which is what I did, because this is a series that has been shown on the Hulu service.
Right.
Now,
I don't know that we get that in this country.
No, but we're going to be getting
it. Get it via Stars, actually, on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
Go to Amazon Prime and Stars, you can get it there. Helpful producer insert.
Apparently it's going to be packaged with Disney Plus as well.
When's that coming? I want that now.
I want to
watch The Mandalorian.
I know. Well, we're getting it late, aren't we, because of European issues.
We'll have all the spoilers by then.
Hey.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Anywho,
really? It's an American service. Stupid Donald Trump. Anyway, right then. Is there anybody in the studio who doesn't know that I'm a Stephen King fan?
No, Show I think we're all pretty
we're all
clear
we've
on
got
that.
Some
one.
Idea. Yeah.
Now, Castle Rock is not written by Stephen King. Okay?
Yeah.
With me so far?
Yeah.
Right then. Castle Rock is the fictional town in Maine, where King sets a lot of his stories, like Needful Things, mm-hmm. Cujo,
Gwendy's Button Box recently.
I haven't read that yet.
Oh, it's good.
Ooh, right.
Come back to that one as well.
I'll have to make sure I get one of those. So they decided that, a series would be made that's set in Castle Rock, featuring some of the recurring Stephen King back characters like Sheriff Alvin Pangborn, who shows up in a lot of both the films and the originating books. So they commissioned this series, and it's a pretty short one. It's, I think, 8 or 9 episodes. Just checking. Wrong? It's 10. Okay. And it's, essentially, it's the best Stephen King story that Stephen King didn't write.
Yeah.
Now then, so you've got the background mythology of, you know, weird things happen in this little town and horrible things go wrong. And this starts really, really strongly with possibly one of the most gory suicides I believe I've ever seen on screen. Imagine a guy in an automatic car parked by a ravine. He ties a noose to his throat, which is tied to the other end to a tree, and then just pops the clutch and lets the car drive over a ravine, immediately beheading him.
Oh,
all right.
Jeez.
I was just looking at that and thought, oh, this might be a tough series to get through, but okay, I'm hooked now. You know, sicko, I know. but it's written very much in the style of a Stephen King book. There are rambling backgrounds to all the characters, some of whom have been mentioned in books, most of whom are brand new. There's potentially a lot of detail that you don't need to know, but through it all, there's a thread that even when you think, oh my goodness, this episode is going nowhere, keeps you hooked. It's just like watching one of his books, one of his longer books, because you're sat there for about 10 hours, but it's a worthwhile 10 hours with a good payoff. Stretches credibility a little bit because it deals with alternate realities and a rip in the fabric that holds between these two realities.
Yeah, right.
It's a little bit, there are no monsters in it, save the human ones, but it's the same kind of thing that he touched upon with, to an extent, The Mist, and he kind of did the same thing with Tommyknockers. So it's not unfamiliar King territory. It's not the kind of thing where, well, he'd never write this. This is rubbish. It's well worth watching. It's, as I said, it's very, very involved, but it has a surprising cast. Because Ruth Deaver, an adoptive mother of the central character in this, is played by Sissy Spacek, Carrie herself.
Right.
Not only that, but an enigmatic inmate at Shawshank State Penitentiary, who's being secretly held prisoner but is released, and he's more what the story revolves around, is played by Bill Skarsgård, Pennywise in It.
Yeah, yeah. And he was also in Hemlock Grove.
I haven't seen that.
Yes, yeah, it's the first thing I saw him in.
Right, he's got this really weird, bony face structure. He looks like a young Wilhelm Defoe, doesn't he?
Yes, he's quite a quirky looking young man, he is, definitely.
And he is quirky in this.
Mm.
And there are times when he actually does that Pennywise smile.
Well, we haven't seen that yet either, so we're still waiting for the second part to come out.
Oh my goodness, that is so worth seeing. Try and see it at the cinema if you can. Keep a very, very tight hold on your popcorn.
Oh, yeah.
No, okay. I suspect we're waiting for the Blu-ray double edition, to be honest, this set. So that's what we're waiting for.
Well, just apologise to the cats, because you will be jumping out of your seat. Now, the good news about Castle Rock is that the first season is self-contained. The whole story is there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But there is a second season coming up. Well, I imagine it'll be available on DVD in a year's time, unless we've got it on streaming by then.
Can I ask you a question about it, Robin, then? You were saying this is the most Stephen King series that Stephen King never wrote.
That's correct.
But it sounds like they've deliberately done that as some kind of homage to Stephen King.
He is an executive producer.
Ah, I see. So are some of the characters that you mentioned earlier that appear in books appear in Stephen King's books?
That's correct, yes.
I see now, yes. I just wanted to clarify that. Because he did say, you know, that
but
some of them
just
are characters.
Random books, Sam.
No, well, I thought, well,
it's not written by anybody.
I thought the Stephen King universe, perhaps. The writer of this piece may have books out, you see, and I wanted that clarified.
So, the premise was, according to Brett's release, Castle Rock combines, and I quote, the mythological scale and intimate character storytelling of King's best-loved works, weaving an epic saga of darkness and light, played out on a few square miles of Maine woodland.
Sounds interesting. Very
there
intriguing.
There are lots of Easter eggs there that if you've read King's books, you will get.
Yes.
But if somebody mentions something from a book, it's not so glaringly obvious that you think, what's he talking about? What have I missed now? Season two will feature Annie Wilkes, the death-dealing nurse from Misery.
Okay,
brilliant.
And a hammer.
And I assume that is Kathy Bates.
No, it won't be Kathy Bates.
Oh, right, okay.
Let's see. It's somebody called Lizzie Kaplan from my research.
Mm.
And there'll be a younger Annie Wilkes in a recurring role as well. I don't know how that's going to go. But I will certainly be there. This is my new American Horror Story.
Oh,
that's fab. I'm really...
They just pushed it too far for me. This is my new American Horror Story, because that has been abandoned.
Well, I'm really, really excited about this, actually, because recently I started reading all the Castle Rock stories that King did, because I just thought, I've read some King, but not all of it, and I thought I'm going to do a deep dive, but I'm going to go through all the Castle Rock. So I'm not very far in yet, but I'm going to watch this series now with that in mind.
Read a few, and this, where they've chosen as a location for Castle Rock, it's not often I can say this, but that is Castle Rock as I have seen it in my mind reading his book.
Fantastic.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have to fork out for a DVD then, and maybe we'll have to discuss it again, Robin.
Absolutely. Then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely. So, stay with us. But now, we'll have a little bit of Walk Me Home. Pick.
There's something in the way you roll your eyes. Takes me back to a better time. When I saw everything is good. But now you're the only thing that's good. Trying to stand up on my own two feet. This conversation ain't coming easily. And darling, I know it's getting late. So what do you say we leave this place? Walk me home in the dead of night. There's something in the way I wanna cry that makes me think we'll make it out alive. So come on and show me how we're good. I think that we could do some good. Mm-hmm. Walk me home in the dead of night. I can't be alone with all that's on my mind. Mm-hmm. So say you'll stay with me. Cause there is so much wrong going on outside. Ooh. 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 Walk me home in the dead of night. Cause I can't be alone with all that's on my mind. Say you'll stay with me tonight. Cause there's so much wrong going on. Walk me home in the dead of night. I can't be alone with all that's on my mind. So say you'll stay with me tonight. Cause there's so much.
This is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popcultureherocoalition.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at @superheroIRL. Thanks so much.
Lead writer for the world's longest-running magazine of sci-fi, horror and fantasy. Host of Piercing the Veil, regular Stone Tapes and Midweek Drive contributor, and the UK's very own Welsh Caped Crusader. 'Tis time for Robin Pierce.
Don't make fun at Robin's expense.
So I was just going to pick up on that, and then David just chipped in. Sorry, Robin, we were just talking about you.
We were just talking about you, yes.
Not to you, of course, but about you.
So, moving swiftly on, and I was just going to continue on that theme of Castle Rock and recommend that book to you, Robin, then Gwendy's Button Box, if you haven't seen it before. It's... because I read it very recently, actually, and thoroughly enjoyed it.
Is it a novella?
It is a novella. It's quite a long novella, more of a short novel, really. And it's interesting how it came about, because Stephen King was writing it as a Castle Rock story.
Yeah.
And he sent it to Richard Chismar, who's the guy behind Cemetery Dance Press.
Oh, right, yeah.
And also a well-known writer in his own right. And Stephen King sent this to him and said, look, I'm stuck. I think he was meant to be writing it for Richard to publish. He said, I'm stuck, it's not working, but this is what I've got so far, so, you know. And Richard came back to him and said, well, have you thought about doing it like this and this and this and this? And Stephen King apparently turned around to him and said, that's brilliant, finish it. So it became
Gwendy's Button Box.
And it's set in Castle Rock. It's about a sinister man who turns up one day at a playground, and he gives one of the children, Gwendy, a box that's got buttons on it, and tells her she has to look after it, and if she presses buttons there will be serious consequences, so she has to keep it safe.
Is it like that, was it Richard Matheson story, where you can press the button and you'll get £1 million, but somebody in the world will die?
It's exactly that sort of premise, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's along those lines. So
Don't tell me too much about it, I've just ordered it.
I won't. But so that's basically the premise. And it follows Gwendy's life as she grows up, and this box, how it influences her life, how it remains a part of her life. I won't give you any spoilers.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What's Gwendy's magic feather, then?
Gwendy's magic feather, which I was just about to come on to, is coming out in November, next month, 2 months' time, and it's a sequel, but it's written by Richard Chismar with Stephen King's blessing. And
right.
So, as I understand it, they've discussed it, and Stephen
he's
King's
written
a foreword
as well, yeah. I see.
And this is actually a novel this time. And I don't want to give you any spoilers about how it could continue, but essentially when Gwendy's first given the box, she's told, look after this box. For your life, the rest of your life, and then you'll no one will ever have to see it again. But of course, something's gone on, and the situation's changed.
It sounds a bit Pandora as well.
Yeah,
it's like the temptation of pressing these buttons,
and the temptation not just to Gwendy to press the buttons, but to other people who might find out that she's got this box as well.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
It's interesting how it affects her life and her whole outlook. It's not really a horror story in the sense that it's, you know, there's the sinister man and there's the box. It's about how someone's life can be shaped by responsibility, I guess.
Yeah, interesting.
It's really good.
Mm. Every time I see a sinister man with a box, it's our postman.
Yes, more parcels from Amazon.
Your postman. Yeah, what have you ordered this time, says Mrs. Pierce.
Oh, moving on from there, we're going to now talk Let's Talk Series, and George, you're going to lead us on this one too.
I can kick us off with this one. Yeah. I've been having a massive Star Trek thing.
Yay!
Yay! Who doesn't love Star Trek? Star Trek Discovery, I, um, I'm, as I'm sure our listener knows, I'm a busy man. I often am working a lot and don't have a lot of time to watch shows when they first come out. So it's actually only recently that I've sat down and been able to watch season two of Discovery. And I loved the first season with some reservations. And the second season, I thought, just lifted it to a whole new level. To the extent that I think it's the best Star Trek they've ever made.
So, in your opinion, if people were put off by elements in the first season, it's worth pushing through to get to the second season?
Yeah, they had a change of showrunner. And it shows. I mean, and there are still, you know, it's got Star Trek moments. There's those moments where they get a bit preachy and things like that. Yeah. The odd ropey bit of dialogue, but actually the acting's fantastic. And there's they bring Captain Pike into it. Pike was the first captain of the Enterprise in the original pilot. He's in this whole series, and Spock comes into it as well, a young Spock.
Interesting.
With a beard,
struggling with his emotions.
So he's an evil Spock from your universe. He must be.
He's not from they did the Mirror Universe in the first series.
I know how these things work.
And this is, it's quite timey-wimey, actually. So, you know, fans of time travel drama, like we all are with Doctor Who, get a bit out of this as well, because it's got time travel elements to it.
No and spoiler, but they end up in the 34th century.
I loved it. I mean, to the point where I was taking my lunch break and watching an episode, and then at dinner time, like, I get the kids to bed and I watch another episode. It was kind of that proper driven to watch and find out what happens next.
Hang on. I think we're just someone's incoming. Incoming. Incoming.
But it's really sent me back into Star Trek, actually. So, because Picard's coming as well, the new series Picard.
Oh, brilliant.
Which,
we're losing him. Try again.
Me up, Scotty.
you can take it, Captain.
Robin,
we tried to get you here with us, but it just didn't work, as you could tell. Never mind.
Well, half of me's still sitting here. Don't know where my legs are.
Oh, dear. Have you seen the fly? It's half you and half dog. Is it? Who's you and?
It's Bo Pierce. Not Brundlefly, Bo Pierce.
Bo Pierce.
So, Robin, have you been following Discovery? Silly question.
I bought the first season on Blu-ray because it was at a pretty advantageous price in a high street retailer a couple of months ago, but I haven't yet cracked it open because I was lured by the temptation of the familiar, and I bought myself a big box set. And okay, no mocking, okay? Before I start,
don't judge
no
you.
Mocking.
Don't judge you.
I'm watching you, David J.
I'm watching you too. What are you going to say? What have you bought now?
Yes, Dad. the full box set of Sequest DSV.
Oh, that's not bad.
Fantastic. It plays better now than it did back then.
That works.
Because it's set in 2018.
Well, speaking of time travel, I mean, Sam and I have been enjoying a rather interesting kind of science fiction series, Space 1999.
It's fab, isn't it?
Oh, this is one I'm going to watch next.
Yes, it's really good. And in fact, the moon was blown out of Earth orbit about a week ago.
Yes.
Was it the 20th of September or something? I can't remember the exact date.
It was basically 20 years ago, 1999. Yeah. September 13th, 1999.
It was September 13th. Exactly. Yeah. 20 years ago, the moon.
Yeah, the clue's in the title there, David.
There you go. We were watching that. And then last night, we cracked open another new science fiction series called Blake's Seven.
Could never get into that.
We thoroughly enjoyed the first two episodes, but we still can't quite work out where they get Seven from. We're hoping as we progress,
please,
it will become a bit more obvious.
You've got obviously the two computers, and then the five.
There's only one in the first episode.
They emerge as the full seven.
No, we haven't got to Callie yet, we've only got five people so far.
Oh, I guess it's seven.
Six if you count the computer.
Wasn't that written by Terry Nation?
Terry Nation, yes, it was. Yes. It was, created indeed. Him, yeah. So we're thoroughly enjoying
I was lucky enough to write two audios for Blake Seven with the original cast, and it was fab to go to the recording days and be part of it.
Although Sam's a bit convinced that Michael Keating is actually Carl Howman.
Jacko
off of Brush Strokes. He came on the screen and she goes, "It's Jacko! What's he doing in a prison planet?"
It really does look like
Brush Strokes.
That's taken me back as well.
He does like
I have also been delving even further back. And I've been watching the first season of Buck Rogers in the 25th Century.
Oh, I need to revisit that. I used to love that.
I'll take your Buck Rogers and I'll raise you that I'm also watching the first series of Lost in Space.
Subjecting
me to this black and white.
Black and white's where it's at.
Absolutely classic. And yesterday, because I wasn't feeling too well, I binge watched about four episodes. And one of those episodes featured a character whose name is spelt B-O-L-I-X.
Yes, Mr. Bollocks. To be precise, Inspector Bollocks.
Yes, Inspector Bollocks.
And well, you can imagine all the way through it,
what's her face, Mrs. Robinson, is going, well, Mr. Bollocks.
Yes.
Inspector Bollocks.
It didn't mean anything then, did it? I mean, it wasn't,
If that wasn't enough... Inspector Bollocks has got two hairy,
monsters
that follow him around and growl a lot.
And that's why somehow Irwin Allen never quite achieved the greatness Gene Roddenberry did.
Strange,
really.
Strange yes. that. Oh,
Alex,
such
there goes
fun.
The watershed.
There goes the watershed. Such
it's
fun.
It's like very, that, very that classic Captain America panel. You know, the sound effects they have on where he's hitting someone with his shield and it says WANK.
Oh, dearie me.
Talking about black and white
what
stuff.
What does that sound like?
Black and white stuff. I had a dose of pneumonia a couple of months ago, and I
we were watching when we were ill.
I know. And I spent 2 weeks recovering on the sofa, and it was the first time I've sat down for a long time and watched telly like that. And I found a channel called Talking Pictures.
Oh,
my God. I watched so many amazing films, including the best worst one was called Conga. Have you heard of the Conga?
Yeah.
Michael Goff.
Yes. Kong ripoff.
Yeah, where he injects a chimpanzee with a formula and it turns into a gorilla, strangely. That's a man in a gorilla suit, rather. And goes on a campaign of terror. It was so bad, but so good.
I love all these shows.
Yeah,
I binge-watched the old original Captain America movie serial from the 1940s.
Oh, wow.
I love this kind of stuff. And there's no shield. He carries a gun. He's a lawyer. Nothing to do with Steve Rogers. He just wears the same uniform, okay? And it was made circa 1944, 45, thereabouts. And in it, he's obviously against an evil scientist who threatens the city with this ray... that will shake the city apart.
Yes, because that's what rays do.
Is referred to as the giant cosmic vibrator.
Awesome.
Oh dear.
Awesome.
Oh dear.
Poor Ray.
Well, awesome. I think on that note, we better get a musical interlude. And we're going to go to Linda Gold's Storyteller.
Quick-witted Sinbad and other details. I'll spin you half a story each night. I won't bow before your rage and might. I'm a storyteller, spreading words of princes and imprisoned
And now time for David's film of the month.
That was a good track, wasn't it?
That was a very good track.
What was that one again?
That was Storyteller by Lindsay Gold.
That's fantastic. Why isn't that played on the radio more? I have no idea.
It should be a Bond theme.
Why doesn't that get to be a hit in some of the nonsense that we have to listen
exactly.
to?
Exactly. Here.
That's true.
So, my film of the month. So what I've decided to go for is a fairly modern film this time. We happen to be watching the Netflix channel. Other streaming services are available, of course.
Too many, actually.
Too many, in fact. I think it was on Netflix, wasn't it?
Subscribe to so many now.
And we came across a film called Happy Death Day, which we'd not heard of. Transpires. It's made in 2017, so it's a couple of years old. And it's directed by... who's directed it? I've lost it. It's directed by a chap called Christopher Landon. And I notice from my my notes that Christopher Landon did like a lot of the Paranormal Activity films and that sort of stuff, which he wrote, and this one he's directed. What I particularly liked about this film is when we started to watch it, I thought to myself, this is just Happy Death Day. This is like Halloween, Friday the 13th, prom night. It's basically someone's having a birthday and someone's out to kill them. And that's going to be the film. And it's going to be lots of blood and gore, lots of teenagers being slaughtered for no particular reason except that they're having sex at the time that the killer happened to be working past their room.
That does happen.
It happens, so be warned.
And they
people.
Never learn these teenagers.
There's a morality message in here somewhere. And I thought, no, it's just be a bit. I think we were looking for something that was a bit mindless and let's just watch it. Yeah. So we start to watch this film, and it's basically following this girl called Tree, played by Tree Gelbman, who I've never heard of.
Tree Gelbman.
Tree Gelbman is the character.
Branching out in a career.
This is the character's name. Is Tree Gelbman, played by Jessica Rothe, Rothe, who, to be honest, is brilliant. She's really, really good. And basically she wakes up in a dorm room. There's a guy in her room. She thinks she slept with him the previous night. She's had sex with him. She's like, oh, my God, what have I done? So she puts on her clothes from last night, does the walk of shame out through the campus. They're on
Everybody at Lincoln University knows that one.
Everyone knows that. No, not here. It doesn't happen here.
Nebraska, perhaps.
Maybe.
So she kind of goes off walking. She does some stuff. And then it's night time. And she's walking along. And she has to, for random reasons, go underneath like an underpass. And as she goes to go under the underpass, there's like a little toy, like a musical box thing, sitting under the underpass playing music. It's like, whoa.
That's creepy.
It's definitely creepy.
What's going on? So she goes under the underpass, and a masked killer, basically with a kiddie mask on, jumps out of her and basically stabs her. Completely stabs her. Right, brilliant. And she wakes up in the dorm room, back at the beginning of the day again, exactly the same situation. The guy's there, and basically it's like Groundhog Day. Except that...
With added death.
Yeah.
So she basically realises that she has to live this day through and work out who the killer is.
Is it the guy in the dorm?
No, it's not. No, I can tell you that. It's not the guy in the dorm. But what I liked about it is that during the course of this day, played over many, many times, she tries everything. And every single thing she tries backfires on her in a really neat, imaginative, interesting way.
And the killer's always got the jump on her.
He's always one step ahead.
Does he always have the music box?
No. That's only the first time.
Right.
Yeah, it's different. And every time.
We watched it, and some of the days are really short. I mean, there's one where she decides she's not going to leave the room in the first place. but for whatever reason, the killer's in the cupboard with her. So she sort of boards up the door and tries everything. But he's already, or she is already in the room. And it's like, and you just watched this. And we were absolutely captivated.
It sounds great, actually.
It was such a great idea.
It was a really, really good.
So,
really good.
So done before, but really cleverly done this time. Mm. And we really enjoyed it, didn't we?
It was great.
We really, really
there
enjoyed it.
There is a sequel, you know, that was released earlier on this year Happy Birthday to You.
I noticed that.
That explains the whole phenomenon, what's going on.
Oh, I don't know if I want it explained.
I don't know that I want it explained either, but the first one is an absolute classic.
Isn't it?
A whole new spin on a tried and trusted trope.
Yes, I'm glad you said that. You've seen it, obviously.
Yeah. And I'm not wrong, am I? It does. Nope. It starts off when you think, I've seen this.
It's scary and it's funny.
It is. It's very clever, and I love the cyclical nature of it. I love the way. There's another little tiny bit in it that, depending on the way that she's killed, depends on how she feels when she wakes up the next morning.
She gets pains. Same
morning. So she has stomach pains, or she's, my neck, because she had her head cut off. And it's just so clever. I loved it. I thought it was a really clever film.
The thing that is written by Scott Lobdell, who's done a lot of Marvel comics, X-Men comics.
Really?
So I read a lot of his work, but not
seen the film. So he's got some good heritage and chops
well. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I absolutely enjoyed it. And to be honest with you, I don't think... correct me if I'm wrong, Robin. I don't think it's got a single actor in it whose name you would go, oh, yes, they're from.
Yeah, no. Don't know any of them.
They're all unknown. And that spells the whole concept even better.
Say again?
$4.8 million budget, it said on Wikipedia.
Wow. It's not much, is it?
Not much at all.
No.
Wow, amazing.
No, brilliant film. Really enjoyed it. So, Happy Death Day. Seek it out if you fancy something a little bit different.
And... that's all we've got time for, I think. So,
unless you want to repeat the show entirely again.
Well, not in a few minutes. I don't think we can quite do that.
We can do the 50-second version that we started with.
Yeah. So,
blah, 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 Castle Rock, blah, 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 Castle Rock, blah, 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 Stephen King.
Thanks so much to Patricia H. Ash, Robin Pierce, David J. Howe, George Mann, and of course, our producer, Alice.
Alice.
Can't get your name out, Alice.
What's
Alice
gender? What's gender?
Alice is going out with Katie later.
So this has been Samuel Stone, Davina Howe, Georgia Mann, and Alice Lefchuk, with Robinda Pierce.
Until next month.
Those who have seen your face.